Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Baseball's great charm is that the action comes in spurts, which leaves plenty of time to spin yarns, look at the girls, and make wisecracks.
Chaos, C-H-A-O-S, critical hate and overwhelming stupidity.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Full Count Chaos. Appreciate you tuning in. Hit me up on Twitter at Full Count Chaos. Send me an email, fullcountchaos@gmail.com, or head to the website, find more ways to subscribe. Prior episodes and all the good shit, fullcountchaos.com. Hope you cleaned your shit up today because we have a guest stopping by, Zach Goodman, PressBoxOnline.com. He's a co-host of The Bat Around Saturdays, 10 a.m. to noon East Coast time. He also co-hosts the podcast Nate Hit the Foul Pole, probably my favorite title for a podcast. We basically chat about some picks from the MLB draft, a little Jamai Jones, a little Austin Hayes talk. And then, of course, we learn all about Zach with the random questions towards the end. Now, I'm excited about this episode because Zach is a beast when he breaks shit down pertaining to the draft. Basically, breaking it down on anything he's talking about with baseball and sports. Always love chatting with him about baseball. And when he breaks shit down, when he's breaking it down pertaining to the draft, it's like music to my ears. It's like when your DJ, your favorite DJ, just hits that beat and it just gets you pumped up and it's just going. And you're loving it. It's like, hey, Zach, what'd you think of Colton Cowser? Okay, I like it. What do you think about Jamai Jones? I mean, he hasn't been up yet. What's going on with that? Just breaking it down. So, yeah, had a good time chatting baseball, Orioles talk, MLB draft with Zach. Always fun hanging out with him. Chatting about the good old Orioles. How about them O's? Now, before we bring Zach on, I just want to remind you, give you a heads up. I've told you before, if you haven't done it, please do it. Spotify Green Room app. It's free. All right, folks. So there's that. So that's a good start. It's a free audio only social media platform for sports fans. So there's another thing that's good. Start or join ongoing conversations, watch games together, react to the biggest news, rumors, and games. Talk with other sport fans, insiders, athletes, and executives in real time. Here's all you need to do. Create a profile, link your Twitter, and join. That's it. There you go. All right, let's bring Zach on. By the way, you can follow him on Twitter at OrielsFan68. Just like all of us on Twitter, we vent our frustration about the Orioles and watch the games and continue to vent our frustration while watching the game. So give him a follow. It's a good time. All right, let's bring him on. Here we go. Zach, we're going to start with Colton Cowser. I want to know your knee-jerk reaction when you heard that name.
I had Khalil Watson very high on my board. I loved what Watson brought to the table. I thought he was a five-tool talent.
That's who I put my money on. Yeah.
Yeah, and to see him there at number five, I was positive that that was going to be the guy. I didn't think the Orioles could pass up such a sure five-tool high school talent.
Yeah.
But then again, if you look back to what Michael Elias has done, it's clearly he likes the college bats.
Boy, does he like the college bats. Yeah. Loves the outfielders.
I can't say he 100% does. I wasn't surprised at all when Cowser's name was called, but yet I really was pulling for Khalil Watson to be that guy. And I, you know, I couldn't believe he was there. I was shocked he made it out of the top four. The reason he dropped was because of curveballs. He's had, you know, he doesn't face a lot of them in the North Carolina area. And there's just generally not that many good pitchers that he really faced down here. The competition is just pretty low. That's really why he dropped to number 16. It makes a lot of sense, but hey, the talent's there. The swing's amazing. With Michael Elias's preference on college bats, with very sure guys that are, you know, not going to bust, they're very safe, you know, more low ceiling, but high floor guys. That's what Michael Elias likes. And I wasn't surprised at all when Kowser was the guy. But I think what Kowser brings to the table and why I'm still excited about the Kowser pick, I'm not as excited as I was when they drafted Adley Rutschman. Not that right now, but Kowser brings a lot to the table. I think he's a guy who's going to move very quickly through the system. I think he could be here by even early 2023, late 2022. I think he is, has a chance to be like Andrew Vaughn, who was up so quickly for the White Sox because he's just such a polished guy. And he's going to hit for contact. He's going to be able to run. He's going to be a guy who can probably stick in center field if they need him there or move to a corner. And the power, you know, once you figure out a few things in your swing and you get a little bit bigger, it's going to start to come up, you know, more and more. I think he could be a 25 home run guy a year. He reminds me a lot of Nick Markakis in a lot of ways. I don't think he's the arm of Markakis, but, you know, just being that lefty swing, maybe a leadoff hitter, I would call a five tool talent really is what Kowser is, but the ceiling is just not as high as some of the prep guys that were there, like Lawler, Khalil Watson. So that's where I was a little bit disappointed, but hey, I mean, they got a really good talent and a guy that's probably going to be a very good Major League Baseball player.
I mean, the guy's got great numbers. I always feel funny even going over his numbers. Because it's like, you know, like you said, it's such a big gap. Even if these were his numbers in AAA, it's like lately in the past few years, I found myself saying, all right, we'll wait till he gets up to the majors. So when we're talking about kids in high school and college, it's still, but look, 374, 490, 680 was a slash. 76 for 203, 16 home runs, 10 doubles, I mean, you could just go down the list. This guy's a fucking ball player.
He's a stud.
Yeah,
he is. Some could argue he's the best contact hitter in the whole draft.
I heard a couple guys say that out there. You know, guys with blue check marks on their Twitter page. But yeah, you know, and I'm like, oh, I guess it's, you know, it's got to be true if this is
you and I, the blue check mark is is the definite sign of verification when it comes to news.
Right. I know that's how we are these days. But all right, so yeah. I definitely feel that when I first heard that name, and I think it was hilarious. I think it was last year. I don't know if you guys put this together or somebody else did who was watching your live feed when they announced Heston Kjerstad and your guy, the facial expressions on your face, and somebody had the Curb Your Enthusiasm music in the background.
That was Matt. That was Matt just trying to get some. Yeah, he did a great job. He does a lot of good Twitter stuff.
Because that's what I thought when they called this kid. Again, when they called Kowser, I wasn't like, oh my God. I just know that wasn't one of the names that we thought were going to get called. And then as soon as they did, that was one of the things that I thought of that video with the Curb Your Enthusiasm music. Cause I'm like, I just have that feeling this is another pick where everyone's kind of tilting their head going, what? Well, basically the first draft pick, Kowser, he's a stud. You're okay with it. You're not basically saying, oh my God, what the hell are you doing, Elias? But at the same time,
no.
You know, this kid should obviously do all right coming up in the Orioles system. Second pick, East Carolina second baseman, Connor Norby, number 41 over pick, led the nation with 102 hits. How'd you feel about him?
Yeah, so I had Norby. I do a top 50, basically of my preferences, my guys ranked. I had Norby, I think 45 or 46. So he was right around that 41 number that the Orioles took him at.
Yeah.
So I did like Norby a lot. I think the biggest issue with Norby for me, and I think why he fell so far down to be available for the Orioles at number 41, is that he's pretty average at everything besides hitting. Like hitting is pure hitting, contact hitting, that's his thing. He's definitely on the shorter side, which most second basemen are, so it's not shocking. Right, but, you know, he generally, the defense is pretty average. He's a guy who can, you know, he's going to play second base. I think he's going to stick there. I wouldn't see a problem with that. Second base is not a ridiculously difficult position to play.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to stick there. But the arm's pretty average. The defense there is pretty average. But you look at when he's, you know, at the plate, the way he presents himself in the box with his stance, with his approach, it's all just very refined. Sort of like Couser. I think maybe even a better hit tool than Colton Couser does have. Like Connor Norby, he led the NCAA in hits this year. He batted .415.
Yeah.
And East Carolina, you know, it's not the biggest school in the world, but it's still a very good program. And it's impressive to lead the NCAA in hits. I think he had 102. So, you know, Norby to me is going to be one of those guys who, again, like Couser, it's a, you know, a high floor and a low ceiling. It's not a someone who's going to be, you know, named MVP or something in 2024, but he's a guy that is going to be an everyday regular, maybe even a little bit better than that, who gets on base at a, you know, a 360, 370 clip.
Listen to you, and he's breaking a very solid player. Breaking it down. Loving it. Loving it. All right. I want to skip over a couple guys and go straight to the first pitcher that Elias drafted, Carlos Tavera, University of Texas, Arlington. One of the guys who threw a no hitter. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
He's got that on his resume already. Did you like that pick? Did you know much about this guy at all, or what have you
I didn't know a lot about Tavera. He was one of the first guys that came off the board where I just didn't have a lot of background on him. For the Orioles, I mean, he came off the board. You know, with the fifth round pick, he was a senior sign, a guy who came out of a, you know, again, not the biggest program, but, you know, certainly a solid one at that.
You
but
weren't like texting everybody going, I got what he got him. Elias got him.
Right. Carlos Tavera to me. I mean, I really didn't know a lot about the pick. I was just kind of, all right, well, let's dig into this guy a little bit. His fastball looks really good. You know, just from what I've seen on video, his fastball looks like he can kind of locate that, blow up by anyone whenever he wants.
And then Dylan Hyde, another pitcher who threw a no-hitter. He has that on his resume. A lot of people are talking about him as well.
Dylan Hyde from Pitt Johnstown. Yeah. Dylan Hyde was actually behind Connor Norby, my favorite pick in this draft. Dylan Hyde, I mean, he was arguably the best D2 pitcher in the country. I think that for Dylan Hyde, what you see in this pick is the Orioles doing more model-based scouting and more. I'm trying to put this in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. I think they're doing things that other teams aren't, essentially. Like with the models, with all the Sigma Dell analytics department that's so far, you know, heads and shoulders above what everyone else does, I think this is one of the picks you see that.
So you're definitely Team Elias.
I would say I'm pretty Team Elias. Okay. I do like Mike. I think Mike is a very, very smart guy.
I was just curious. That was one of my questions. I mean, obviously, we're giving Elias a lot of props tonight, which, he should. He's definitely got the resume. But of course, there's still those people that you see posting all over Twitter and that you speak on a daily basis about the Orioles. A lot of people are stepping back going, I don't see any signs of him bringing a bright future. It just looks like he's tanking games so he gets a better draft pick.
I would recommend for everyone who says that, I would recommend reading the book. I'm not even a big like book person. Like I don't read a lot of books, but if you really should read the book Future Value by Kylie McDaniel, who writes for ESPN, and then Eric Longenhagen writes for Fangraphs. They break down a lot, you know, how these draft picks essentially work. They break it down very well in that book.
What's the book called?
It's called Future Value.
Okay.
I think people need to read this book to get a little perspective on just exactly how a lot of these picks work and why teams do exactly what
that's
they
great.
Do. I think people would understand a lot better why some of these picks are made. They do a really good job breaking it down. You know, a guy like rounds 4 and 5, a guy like Carlos Tavera, the senior signs, they come off the board a lot in rounds 4, 5, and 6. So while it may not look great on the surface, that's, you know, what teams really like to do. There's a plentiful amount of rules that that teams have to abide by after round 10, and the first 125,000 that goes into the signing a guy after round 10 does not count. There's a bunch of learn in that
I remember
book.
Sitting down a while ago and I started reading all the MLB drafting, what's in it and how it gets all broken down in the rules, and I'm like, holy shit, it's not just like
it's unbelievable.
Who's the best guy? It's like, whoa. Yeah.
It's mind-numbing, I'll be honest. It's really mind-numbing. There's so many rules, and I don't know how they keep track of them. Like, I don't know if Mike Elias is sitting there with like the rule book before in this draft, flipping through it, being like, all right, are we gonna take this
guy? And that's
guy
why
here?
You
like,
hear can, yeah, that's why when you find
can we
out
pay him, like can we sign this guy?
Right,
like that's
right.
It's such a confusing thing, and there's so much that goes into it.
Well, that's why these people, when they find out how much these people behind closed doors who work for the Orioles, their salaries, Yeah. It's like I explained to him like what goes into it and why you really got to know what you're doing. And this is why these guys and girls, whatever, you know, I feel like when I say guys, somebody emails saying, and girls, it's like, all right, it's just a habit. I'm sorry. But yeah, that's why these people, I'm going to say people, get paid large amounts of money because of what goes in it.
All right. And Dylan, I mean, look, you can do as much scouting as you possibly want on your own free time. And you'll never come close to the amount of you know, the brain, the amount of information of what just one scout for the Orioles and what they do and just what they know. That's, you know, that's what I'm trying to get into. I'm trying to become a scout. That's my goal. And this, it is.
I didn't know that. And this, that's awesome.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's why I'm pretty into the draft, into the prospects, all that. I it's actually, you know, so enjoyable watching the Orioles. When you look at scouting, I mean, in baseball, you're trying to take a guy who's 18 years old or 17 years old and trying to project what he is at 22, 23. I mean, that's why these scouts have known these guys since they were what, like 14, 15 years old. They've been in that area forever. They know their parents. They've been to their house a million times. They've, you know, been to 4th of July barbecues. Yeah. Like, this is what they do for a living. Mm-hmm. They know why they pick these guys.
Well, let me ask you this, Zach. What would you grade the Elias's draft this year in 2021?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, when we look at this in 5 years, we're going to have a great idea of what this looked like. Mm-hmm. But for right now, I would probably go B minus. Okay. I think B minus is where I would say.
Usually when you grade a draft, I guess, I mean, you're really grading a draft what, in like their first couple picks. I mean, I don't think you can grade them like, well, the reason you got a B minus is because it's 17th pick of Ryan Long. You know, I would have went with so-and-so. I'm just, usually when you, so you give it about a B minus. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think generally I would have liked to seen a little more high upside guys taking this draft. I think they took a lot of safety. They took a lot of really sure players in college. And I don't think they went for a lot of high ceiling, high upside high school guys. They only drafted one, who was a catcher in the 8th round, Creed Willems, who, you know, he signed, I believe, for overslot money. He signed for a pretty good amount. He was committed to TCU. And he's a big boy. It looks like he's going to hit for some power, but I would have liked to see more of that, like more high upside in the later rounds. And, you know, of course, I like I said before, I would have liked to see Khalil Watson at number 5 or Jordan Lawler too. But I think that, you know, overall they did a good job. And again, really after round 4, after round 5, it's so hard to tell why the Orioles took these guys and what the reason, you know, for them was and how they fit it in their budget and all that stuff. I mean, it's just such a crazy amount of information.
Now, something I did want to bring up real quick before we move forward. Jamai Jones has been a conversation that's been coming up a lot lately. You got fans screaming, wondering why the hell he's not coming up. You got a small percentage of fans saying, you know, no big rush. He will be up sooner or later. I'm one of the fans who, I'm not screaming and shouting for him, but I am kind of curious on why he's not up with the Orioles right now.
I'm not. I'm really not.
You're not shouting for him?
No, I think the people I've seen on Twitter and everything are trying to make this guy out to be the next Babe Ruth. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I get wanting an upgrade. I get it. Pat Flacco is terrible. If you compare what Jamai Jones could bring to this team, yes, he's going to be a better hitter than any of the guys I just mentioned. Yes, he's probably going to play, you know, subpar defense, but he's still going to be fine.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's not here. I think the Orioles are really trying to sell this. Oh, he needs to work on a defense thing, but I shouldn't have asked.
It's not about, are you one of the guys who are screaming for him to come up? I get it. I'm not one of the guys either. I mean, I'd like to see him come up, but why isn't he up here? Like, that's the bigger question.
I don't know. Honestly, I really don't know. I don't want to make him out to be Babe Ruth. No. I don't want to make him out to be any guy who, I don't think he's even a you know, starter in the major leagues. Yeah. I don't think he's that guy. Yeah. I think he'll be quickly replaced by a Taron Vavra and then eventually Connor Norby.
Yeah.
When it comes time. But for right now, I don't really know the reason why he's not the starting second baseman on this team. Right. Mike Elias cannot come up to me and can, like, literally he cannot tell me that Pat Valeka is worth starting over Jamai Jones at this point. But I'm not screaming it because I know that, you know, that Jamai Jones is really not that great of a player in the long term and not that great of a player.
I mean,
player
Pat Valeka is like another player where I'm like, the guy's got to have a photo of Mike Elias wearing a ball gag with Sig Meidel whipping him in the ass.
100%,
you know what I mean? With like
100%.
Nipple clamps on him or something. Cause it's like how this guy continues to go out day after day.
Yeah.
And he's such a, it seems like just like a kind dude. You know, I mean, it's easy to root against him. I shouldn't say it's hard to root against him, but at the same time, it's like, hey, oh, Pat, come on. Pat the Bat. He seems like a good dude. Hey, folks, I promise we're going to get right back to the call at Zach. It'll take about 15, 20 seconds. Just want to remind you again, Spotify Green Room app. It is a free audio-only social media platform for sport fans. Start or join ongoing conversations, watch games together, react to the biggest news, rumors, and games, talk with other sport fans, insiders, athletes, and executives in real time. Create a profile, link your Twitter, and join. Easy as that. Now, before we get to the next segment here, random questions, I just want to kind of wrap it up a little bit with some happy talk. You know what I mean? So we got Spencer Watkins.
Let's do it.
He's been fun to watch lately. All right. You know, he's the only, what I read, the only Orioles starter of the season with three consecutive outings of one earned run or fewer, first three major league starts. And his story, he was ready to walk away. And then I think it was his wife or his girlfriend or someone said, no, don't do it because I don't want to be married to someone who's poor. No, I shouldn't say that. But, you know, and then he decided, he said, all right, I'm going to keep doing it. Now look at him. You know, I don't know if he's going to be, I don't know. Look, three good starts. He looks good, but whatever. Anyway, let's not go down that rabbit hole, Nate. Let's focus on happy. And then you got Austin Hayes. Come on. He's still your favorite player, right?
He's my guy. I love Austin Hayes. I still love Austin Hayes. I think I will say this. I was just telling to someone yesterday that I don't know, but I'm decently confident we've seen Hayes' offensive ceiling. I think what he's doing right now, and he's basically hitting about MLB average. His OPS plus is about 100, somewhere around there. I think this is what Austin Hayes is as a major league player. I think this is what he is.
What's he batting now? He's at 269. Let's see, 269, 345, 500. Those are pretty good numbers. I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. I mean, he certainly is. You know, he's hitting at a basically average to a little bit above average level, and he's playing good defense. He's being a productive player on this Orioles team, but I'm not sure you look at the wealth of outfield prospects the Orioles have coming up. You look at Robert Nystrom, who was just promoted to AAA. I think he's going to be a big part of the 2022 Orioles. And then you obviously have Colton Cowser, who could be here as soon as early 2023 or late 2022. So I don't know if Hayes is a starting player over those guys. I don't know if he provides enough offensive upside that you would have him be on your next competitive team as the starting left fielder, right fielder, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think for right now, he's a perfect player in this rebuild, and he's a lot of fun. Like, Austin Hayes is easily, to me, the most fun player in this team.
Yeah. I think he, what was it, last year or the year before, he made that huge catch, and he...
That was off Guerrero in 19.
Yeah, Fly that was Guerrero, not, yeah, 2 years, and he just starts pumping his chest, and he's like, let's go! I think everybody was like, they ran out the door and got an Austin Hayes jersey. They're like, I love it.
I own two of them.
Good for you, man. Good for you.
I own two Austin Hayes jerseys. I'm proud to say it. He's a stud. But
he is.
In all seriousness, I think that he could be trade bait. Number one, I think it's possible we could see him be traded over the next year. You look at next trade deadline in 2022. I think it's possible. Because I just don't know what he is as an offensive player, if he's not this. I don't ever see the guy hitting 280 with 30 home runs a year. I just don't envision that for him right now. And of course the health questions are still there. I don't have any confidence in him being a healthy guy. I just, he looks like every time it's something else. Like it's something else with his body, and then he's a fragile guy. So
I don't have a lot of confidence there. I like it. You know, he's your guy, but hey, could be good trade bait. Get the Orioles something for 2032. It's fantastic.
Right. I mean, I want to be realistic about what he is. Like, I love him. I love the guy, but I want to be also realistic about what he is and how he fits into this rebuild. And I see how he fits in now. I'm not sure how I see how he fits in a year. That's just excellent. Where I'm at with him.
All right. I love it. Breaking it down. Now, we've learned a lot about the Orioles and what's going on with them. Now we want to learn a little bit about you, Zach. All right, here we go, Zach. Some of these questions have to do with sports. Some of them don't. You can always say pass if you don't know or whatever. All right, first question has to do with sports. You going robo umps, or do you want to keep the human element of the game?
Oh, this is a really tough question for me. I go back and forth, really. I do. I think I'm more of a human element guy. I like keeping the way the game is played. I like having that, you know, this game was played this way in 1864, and it's being played this way now. I like that aspect to it. You know, I just saw this today that AAA is actually using bigger bases all of a sudden. I'm not sure if you've seen this, but they expanded the size of the base.
Wait a minute, bigger home plate or bigger bases all around the field?
Bigger bases all around the field, so not home plate. I don't believe home plate. I have to check on that. But like a bigger first base, like it's massive now. Like they almost like, I would say probably by like 25-30%, they up the size of it. It's so
what's the
stupid.
Point of that?
I literally have no clue. Maybe more infield singles.
So I'm with
maybe
you on that. Like stop changing dumb shit, but.
Exactly. Exactly.
The robo, I'm sorry. No, they just seem like it's just getting worse and worse. Like, look, it's a hard job. I get it. And people respond with, well, it's a hard job. Give them some slack. If there's a better way, I don't know, man. I get it with the human element, but strikes and balls are like the most important call of baseball.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know if you remember this one, but Masahiro Tanaka, I want to say 2020 it was, he threw a ball that couldn't have been more middle. It was a fastball right down the middle, and Angel Hernandez just stands back there and calls it a ball. Gary Sanchez is looking around like
I do remember that because I even think I tweeted out something like, as much as I hate the Yankees and they make me sick. Yeah, I was like, I think this makes me more sick watching an umpire take away a straight. Yeah, I do. I remember that.
Sanchez was dumbfounded. I don't think he'd ever seen such a terrible call. I don't think anybody's ever seen such a terrible call. And you look at that and you go, well, yeah, robo-umps have got to be the move, right? Like
human element, huh?
I do like the – I like the way the game has been played. I don't like changing a lot of stuff. You tell me, oh, I want to raise the mound. I'm going, why? Tell me – give me one good reason why you want to raise the mound. No, like, it just doesn't – I'm not into all that stuff.
They lowered it. I mean, that was a long time ago. Now they're going to raise it again. Like, come on.
It makes no sense. I'm a traditionalist in that way. But when it comes to a lot of other parts of the game, I'm not a traditionalist.
So as much as the umpires
at all
drive you nuts, you're just, you know, yeah, you're hooting and hollering, throwing shit at the TV. But at the end of the day, it's just part of the game. It's just part of the game.
I think people will find that when you get the robo umps, there's going to be a lack of consistency with them too. I would think there's going to be some issues, especially they're going to have to work out and people will get pissed off. I guarantee it.
The shit show that will come across that. Yeah. All right. So, so interesting. All right. I thought for sure you'd be robo. All right. How do you feel about the shift?
Yeah. So I hate the shift.
Okay.
I hate the shift.
There you go.
I think the shift is one of the worst things that has ever come to this game. And I think that, I think there's merit to it in some ways. And I think there can be legal parts of it that they could keep without banning the whole thing as a whole. But you know, lining up on the throwing three infielders on the right side of your infield and basically making a lefty either hit it out or hit it into the corner or hit it in between, you know, the second baseman and the right fielder. It's such a hard thing to do as a lefty. And I think it has a lot to do with the demise of Chris Davis. I think it has a lot to do with it. It bothers me when I see, you know, a guy crushed the ball, an Oriole lefty or whatever, crushed the ball right into the shift. And I'm going, you know, 6 years ago, that would have been a hit, right? Like that's a hit.
The right fielder throws them. Yeah. Not the right fielder, but you know what I mean? Out in right field, they throw them out at first.
They're basically in short right field. Yeah. And they have a, you know, they'll put whoever is the best cannon out there and be able to gun them down from there. But I'm someone who loves analytics. I'm very into that side of the game. And you look at analytics and how it works with the shift and all that. Like there's a big correlation there. They, you know, analytics tell you to shift on this guy because of this and this guy because of this. And it's a whole thing, but that's the one part of analytics that I'm not in support of.
I'm finding out that you are just a straight to the point, keep baseball the way it is. That's it. I like it. All right, cool. All right.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I mean, for some things, I think for stats, I'm different. I can't take when someone gives me the RBIs argument. Stuff like that, you know, batting average, RBIs, not really a big factor to me.
There's a lot of arguments about that part of the game, and I agree with you on that stuff. But yeah, the big ones like the shift and robo, it's interesting. Yeah. It's over the years, I've started to find out it's actually like 50-50 lately of what I'm seeing. But
yeah,
you know, 10 years ago, you would have asked this question, it would have been like 90-10, but of people being not for robo umps. All right, do any of these bother you during baseball games? And if so, which one bothers you the most? The wave? Seeing an adult wearing a baseball glove during the entire game? Or fans wearing a team's jersey that's not even playing that day?
Oh, man. Two of those bother me a lot. Two of those bother me a lot. Right. The middle one, the one about the fan wearing the ball glove, I can see it because if you're trying to protect yourself,
sure,
I think that could be a possible, or trying to protect a foul member, or whatever. Sure. I can see that. I think there's some, you know, it looks weird. It's kind of goofy, but like I can see it. It makes sense to me. The first one you talked about, you know, actually, I'm going to go to the third one first with wearing another team's jersey.
Okay.
Why? Like I was just in the Nationals game the other day, actually in DC. Mm-hmm. It was a Nationals versus the Pirates game. And there's a whole family decked out in Mets jerseys. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I'm seeing that more and more. Like I was sitting I went to an Oriole game like a few years ago, I think it was like 2017 or something. And we were in the whole row in front of us. It was like all Oakland A jerseys. And we're like, what the fuck?
And it's insane.
Yeah, it bothered the hell out of me.
It's very annoying. And then the wave, if we go to that, it's just, again, why? Like what? People are just so bored. Clearly they need to give something that like invigorates their mind a little bit. So they start doing this, you know, thing with their hands, and they try to get the whole section to do it. I just kind of look around in disgust every time I see it happen, to be honest with you.
So basically I'm trying to sit there and enjoy
the game. And there's people going, woo, you know, next to me. It's a little bit annoying. I'm not going to lie.
So basically all three of them annoy you. I like it. Okay. I thought it was only two.
In some respects. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. All right. I like it. That's good. We're moving right along here. If you could know the absolute truth to one question in life about anything at all, what question would you ask?
Oh, I know it immediately. Are the Orioles ever going to win a World Series in my lifetime?
Okay.
That would be the question.
So you're going towards like the psychic question. Like you ask if you could know something in the future. That I like. Okay.
Maybe I didn't understand the question 100%.
No, that's perfect. I almost wanted.
That would be my answer.
I want to keep
it. I've often wondered, like, I don't know if I'll ever see an Orioles World Series championship. I hope I do.
Right.
I've been around for two Ravens championships. I don't know if the Orioles will ever win one. I just don't know.
No, that is great because that would be on my list. That's always my number one. More the question of like something that's happening now, like, I don't know, what do women really want? Or. Is there really aliens out there? Anything silly like that? But I'm gonna stick with that one. Are the Orioles ever gonna win a World Series? Let's just stick with that.
I would love to know someone has the answer.
Oh
to
my
me,
god!
Let me know.
I don't know if
let
I want to know because then it'll just make me even more depressed. All right.
Yeah, I mean, if they tell me like 2075, it just whatever. Just like fine.
Let me ask you this: if somebody did, if you did speak to a psychic and they really could see the future, and they said, "I'm sorry, but they're not gonna win a World Series until like 2095. Would you give up? Would you just say, all right, I'm done with baseball. I'm not even going to watch it.
Oh, you know, that's actually interesting because if you know they're going to lose for the next 75 years, then there may be no point in watching baseball ever.
You would
again,
never get
right?
your hopes up again. But yeah, I guess. So I don't know if I want to ask. It's almost
I
like the
know.
Question
I mean,
of
I,
when am I,
I
going to die?
I don't know. I think it basically takes away all of the interest you would have. Like you see Adley Rutschman coming up to the farm system. You're like, well, he's never going to win a ring. So who cares? Like, you know, he's not going to be hoisting the trophy down Utah Street. So why do I care? Like, right. Like, I don't know if I would care anymore. It kind of loses your interest.
Interesting point.
I mean, everyone's so invested in this rebuild because we have a strong feeling that this might work and this might actually produce a World Series.
And
team
then we
for the
find
first
out
time
that
since 1983.
We find out that it won't work, and we're just like,
well, I thought about that a lot too.
Yeah,
I thought maybe that would be the more short term question. Will the Orioles rebuild?
Yeah, I don't want to know what. Yeah, that's a good question. Let's go with that one. Will the rebuild work? I just want to know yes or no. If yes means we'll make the playoffs year after year, we'll just stick with that. All right, there we go. Let's stick with that question. There we go. Will the rebuild work? What makes you say, what the hell was I thinking when you look back on your life?
Ooh. I don't know, honestly. I played lacrosse a lot growing up.
Okay, that was my other sport
I think I probably should have focused. I've just gotten into golf.
Oh,
I played a lot
golf.
Of baseball too, but I think I should have started golfing a lot earlier.
Okay.
I think I should have started golfing.
You
could have
probably done both. Yeah, I mean, you think lacrosse got in the way a little bit of wanting to play golf?
I guess I just focused too much on it. Like I was terrible, and I focused on being good. And I was terrible, and I probably focused too much on being good instead of I should have learned golf a lot earlier. I think it's a lot easier to learn at a young age.
You were a attackman or midfield? Which one?
I was both actually. Okay. They would kind of put me in either. I was a little bit of a worse shooter. I was kind of a better passer, so they probably put me midfield more often. But
yeah, I did the whole lacrosse all through up high school. I was defense, yeah. Long pole, but because I was so fast at running, they would put me on the long pole midi. And I hated that.
Oh, yeah, those are the best. That's the best position in lacrosse.
I don't know. I fucking hated it because it's like, you know,
Really? Yeah,
I did. It bothered me because I got to run and get the ball and then go down, run, pass. If I missed it, I have to run all the way back. Just me bitching. That's basically what I was doing. All right.
No,
that's interesting.
I think I should start playing a lot earlier. It's a lot of fun.
So that's, the hell you're thinking. Cause I play golf all the time. Love it. I mean, it's just therapeutic.
Love it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right. If your friends and family heard you were arrested with no explanation, what would they assume you had done?
Oh, it would have to be something sports related, right? I mean, it would have to be, you know, like if I was,
you ran on the field at Camden Yards or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe like, if the Orioles win the World Series, I'm jumping over the fence and I'm running on the field. I'm hugging Adley Rutschman, right? Like that's probably what would happen. I don't think there's many
reasons. I would go to jail for that. I would probably go to jail.
you would go. I mean, hey,
I'm being locked away for 2 months. My wife's mad at me, but I'm like, no, honey, hear me out. I hugged Adley. It's okay. You know?
He's still on my shirt, right? Like it's a legitimate thing. We might have to do it.
I like it. So it would be, so if you were right, there you go. For the rest of their probably
the other
like,
thing, I would probably be driving too fast. That would be number two.
Oh, okay.
If we have to go with a non-sports answer, I'm answering too many sports questions here, but my answer is,
well, that's obvious. Focus, most people I have 99% people I have on all these questions are, yeah, it's always sports related answers. Trust me.
I'm known as a little bit of a faster driver. So we'll go with that.
You got a heavy foot, huh, buddy?
A little bit.
All right. What conspiracy theory out there do you believe the most?
Oh, Nate McLaughlin at the foul pole. That's what the podcast is named after,
yeah,
right?
Like, I didn't even put two and two together. Dumb me.
I think that's a perfect question to ask me.
He absolutely hit the foul pole.
Well, outside of that, if I don't want to get into anything like too political or anything, so I'll stick to sports for this question. But I think, you know, the lights going out in the Super Bowl to try to help the 49ers win in 2012, you know, and the Ravens Super Bowl, that's one I 100% believe.
No one said that one on here before. I believe 100% those lights went out on purpose somehow. Absolutely.
There is a lot of reason to think that.
Yeah, for sure. But hey, if you want to get political, it's perfectly fine. Don't think just because it's a sports podcast. So I don't know. Real quick, because we got two more here. Are you sure? Is there something political you wanted to get to real quick?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay.
No.
Oh, that's fine.
I think the lights going out's the one I was looking for. I was trying to remember what I was. I wholeheartedly believe it. I wholeheartedly believe that happened.
I agree.
Like, they were trying to sway the momentum. The Ravens barely ended up winning that game. I 100% believe. I remember sitting there when that happened. I was thinking, like, this can't be real. Like, this cannot be. The Ravens go into halftime with a massive lead.
Yeah.
They basically have all the momentum. And they come out and just basically lose it.
And I'm wondering if we'd still think it was a conspiracy if the Ravens would have still won by like 50. Like, I'm wondering, like, I would still probably feel the same way, maybe. I don't know.
I probably wouldn't feel like that because I felt like the momentum just swung so much.
Yeah.
That I just remember sitting there thinking this is going to be really bad. And I'm sure the Ravens players sitting in the locker room waiting for the lights to come back on were thinking this is not good.
No,
like you have to assume they were thinking, oh no, like this is the beginning of the fall down in the Super Bowl.
You even ask those players, you hear those players talk about it every now and then on some silly interview or podcast. And when they do bring it up, they absolutely say, oh yeah, that was on purpose for sure. All right. You're on death row. Last day of your life. What's your meal?
Ooh, I'd probably have like a Gordon Ramsay steak dinner.
Ooh, that's all.
I'd probably go with like a Gordon Ramsay steak dinner. Like the steak that Gordon Ramsay makes is incredible. I would go with.
Never had one, but I've known people that have, and they basically said he ruined it for them now. Because
they can't have anything.
They can't have anything better.
Yeah, to it anywhere else. Yeah,
right.
They can see it.
He fucked it up.
His stuff is incredible. I'm a big big steak guy. So that would be the
he
last.
He actually came to. I don't even know if you live nearby here. I grew up about a minute outside of Ellicott City. Did you ever see that Gordon Ramsay came to Ellicott City and helped out all those restaurants?
Yeah, he helped out with the restaurant, right?
Yeah,
he was
after
the floods. He helped out restore the. I did see that episode.
That was pretty cool.
I like a lot of his TV shows are pretty solid.
Oh, they're great.
I watch a lot of them.
Absolutely.
I watch that one for sure.
It cracks me up when he just starts yelling at people.
The man is extremely entertaining.
Oh, absolutely.
I, I want to see him debate Donald Trump. Like I would, there would be nothing more entertaining than that.
Yeah, that would go be over. Really. Yeah, Donald would probably just throw in the flag, be like, "All right, I'm done. I can't handle this."
Yeah, I don't know if anyone could beat Gordon.
Right.
Interesting guy.
Here we go, wrapping it up. Yes or no on whether these people are athletes? All right, here we go. Horse jockeys.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they, you know, they're moving, right? Like it's a physical sport. They're not sitting in a chair doing nothing. Yeah. Like they're trying to hold on to the horse. I mean,
you gotta be in shape. Yeah, you gotta be in shape. All right, bobsledding team. Bobsledding team.
Yes. I mean, there's still a lot of skill involved with that. Like there is a lot of, again, it's like a physical thing. Like you are actually legitimately trying to make this bobsled go the way you want it to.
All right. So yeah, I would say so. So far, 2 for 2. All right. Curling in, I guess Olympics, right? That's when we mainly see curling.
I mean, hey, it's just about as much of a sport as golf is. Like it's the same kind of concept. Like you're trying to get I don't even know what they call the curling, the big giant circles.
Don't ask me. Don't ask me. I have no idea.
I don't know.
But I just know that I don't feel they're athletes, but it feels like you're getting at, you do feel like they're athletes.
As long as they're, look, I think as far as if you're asking me if someone's an athlete, like if they're moving, if they're doing something physical, which in curling it is, I would consider you an athlete. If you're doing something. Right. Now, if you're like, you know, power walking, I'm not sure I'm going to call you an athlete. Like,
well, then it'll be interesting to hear what you say on these last three. Bowlers, a professional bowler.
Yeah, I mean, as much as curling is, I guess. If I have to say curling is one, then bowling has to be two.
All right.
I mean, I would say a bowler.
Okay, pro golfer. I think you're going to say yes.
Yes, 100%. That I like I said, I mean, I've been trying to learn and trying to get better, and I think I've realized how impossible it is. I picked up a lot of sports very quickly in my life. Like I played a lot of baseball. Yeah. Like I said before, lacrosse. I've done a lot of things that it's never taken me so long to try to figure out just very simple mechanical things.
Yeah, okay, I think
so. 100%.
I think it was Phil 100%. Nicholson. I think Phil, who's I'm probably quoting this the wrong guy, but said, the reason why he loves golf is it's the one sport you just can't master. It just, no matter how good you are.
You
and this last one, a lot of debate, NASCAR drivers.
No way.
Nice. Thank you.
No way.
Thank you.
No, you're not doing anything. You're sitting in a car and you're turning a wheel. Like you go left. Like how many times do you have to try to learn and to go left?
I feel like
it's a pretty simple thing.
And I do want to say, I apologize if you get hate thrown towards your way for agreeing with me, because
I'm telling you
how much hate, because I feel that way. And last thing here, any shows or movies you've seen lately that you'd suggest to watch?
I haven't seen a lot, honestly. I've been, you know, basically in the summer, I just kind of watch a lot of sports because there's so little on TV.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, I'll tell you my favorite movie. If that
all right, there you go. Yeah. That would help.
Interstellar is the best movie of all time.
Ooh, I haven't seen it.
Just gonna put that out there.
Okay. It's on my list.
Best movie of all time. But recently, I mean, hasn't been a lot really recently that I've actually watched.
No, that was good. You just helped it out. Interstellar. I'm going to watch it now. You said best movie. That's your favorite movie.
Best movie I've ever seen. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
It's like a solid 10 out of 10.
Wow.
I'll tell you one of the worst movies I ever watched. I just watched it like 3 weeks ago. The Terminal with Tom Hanks. You seen that one?
Yes.
What a terrible movie. Like,
what an absolute dumpster fire dick show. Yeah, that was,
I think that's
awful.
The last movie I watched, and I haven't watched a movie since, but there's probably a good reason for that. So The Terminal
I remember finishing watching that. I'm like, I'd like to meet the dick bag that wrote this movie and put the money into this movie. Like, how did you get away with it?
I kind of sat there. I was like, what the hell just happened? Like, why did I just spend 2.5 hours of my life?
Yeah, I haven't seen that
in the airport terminal.
But yeah, I remember watching that being like, this is terrible. Thank you again, Zach. And keep doing your thing, man. I mean, you're tearing it up.
I very much appreciate it. Thank you so much again for having me on. I
absolutely
had a great time.
Well, Zach, we'll definitely absolutely keep in touch after this, obviously throughout the season. And hopefully we can celebrate together when Adley Rushman is holding up that trophy and, you know, we're standing out there celebrating. Well, listen, you take care of yourself. Again, apologize to your family for taking you away on vacation, you take care of yourself, okay, Zach? Enjoy the rest of your vacation, and we'll be in touch.